Recorded.
Good evening. This is the discussion group call for the National Liberty Alliance. I am Terry. This call is held every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and it's for everyone out there to express their feelings and talk about anything they want. This is the one conference call, where you have the floor and you can say what you want. In LA, the views expressed are those of the person speaking and not necessarily those of the NLA and vice versa. So with that, I'll finish my story and then turn it over to all y'all. And that is somebody who come and say, Miss Moore, give us your guns. And I'll say, no. And they'll say, okay, thank you, and go on to the next house. And then about a week later or a day later or sometime later, they'll come with lots of arms and maybe a tank. And then I have to decide, am I going to die or give them my guns? Because they'll come with overwhelming force. And that's what I'm... The room's open, by the way, Robert, if you want to get in the call, but you should go through here. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's something to think about.
You're pretty close. I think it'd be more like what they do when they want to really rattle somebody 2-3 o'clock in the morning and all that junk.
Oh, that's right. It would be. It would be a surprise to you.
Maybe some stun shots.
Yeah. Or a flashbang thrown through a window.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to anybody who wants the floor. Terry, you haven't said anything in a little while. Go ahead. It's your floor.
Hello?
Hi, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I didn't really have anything in particular that I wanted to bring up. I just thought I'd listen to the discussion while I'm doing a little typing up a report here.
Okie dokie. Then that means the floor can go to anybody else. You want to say anything, Roberto?
No, I'm trying to get on the other side of this call.
Okay, well, we can close this, and you can call down the pre-conferencing if you want.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Okay, I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
XCF. Okay, the floor is open. Anybody wants it? Mr. Jan, your mic's open. Why don't you talk?
I'm muted.
Okay. Well, my uninterruptible power supply is beeping. That means that the battery is getting wore out. I need to go replace it. I didn't do it today. I doubt I'll have time tomorrow. So we're going to let it beep a little while longer. It beeps for a minute, and then it sleeps until the battery gets down below a certain point again, then beeps again. The batteries aren't holding a charge like they should be. And it's coming up on about, well, I guess it's about 2.5 years old. It's about what it is.
I was listening yesterday to Trump speaking at the NRA annual convention, and it was an excellent talk, and it covered an awful lot of stuff. And he talked about the attempted overthrow, the silent coup, and the people who were guilty of treason, named names like he had names like Brennan and Crapper and Comey and all of those people, and went kind of down the list for you. So I put it in the newsletter last week. So take a look at it. It had a lot of really good information in it. You've probably all seen it in bits and pieces, but he kind of tied it up neatly in a nice little package on that talk.
Do you think coup rises to the level of treason?
Absolutely.
I
That's
too.
The definition of coup.
Well, it's kind of hilarious
when you think about it. What were they trying to get him for? Colluding with the Russians, and they found that he did not collude with the Russians. And so what is it they're going after him for now?
Obstruction
justice.
Of justice.
If there is no collusion, so there is no violation, there is no crime, how can you obstruct justice? I don't understand
exactly
that issue. You know, it's just the most mind-boggling stupidity I've ever seen. Just my thoughts. That represents mine. It's not necessarily an inhalation. Standing.
So a coup... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Give us a coup here.
Coup, the third definition is coup d'etat, which is what we're really talking about. It's coup d'etat. Lots of people just leave off the d'etat because they don't want to speak French, because they don't like French. A sudden and decisive action in politics, especially one resulting in a change of government illegally or by force. So
that pretty well fits the bill, doesn't it? Illegally or by force?
Yeah.
Sound like treason to me.
They were illegal. And they were trying to do it by force, the force of the government. It wasn't the whole government. It was just some people at the top.
Right.
What would our world look like if she had won? Oh, my gosh. Four, eight, six, one. Can you get a name in a state? A first name in a state? Just first name in a state. So we know how you want to be addressed. The person with the phone number ending in 4861, 717 area code.
Oh, hello.
Hi. What's your first name and state?
Sally, and it's Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you, Sally in Pennsylvania. Okay, I leave the floor open, so Sally, you can talk. Jeff, you can talk. Robert, you can talk. And I guess I see Dick in there, too. So.
Well, I don't know exactly. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Sally.
I don't know exactly what Jeff would talk about, but I have a real problem. I got several months ago, I started getting pulled over for they're telling me expired inspection sticker. It doesn't exist. It's supposed 4703A is supposed to be a official certificate, which doesn't exist, because if it did, we would all be exempt from tolls and parking. We wouldn't have to pay for that. So if you actually look at your sticker, it says annual windshield sticker. So I've been getting hammered, and I've gotten like 10 of these, and I've voted to court twice now already so far. And the first time I went, the magistrate actually refused to show me his oath of office, which is treason. It says in there that you should be hung. So he did that, and then he, to save face, he at the end of my judgment, he said she's guilty, blah, blah, blah. A bunch of stuff went on, but I didn't have a hearing. He basically said she's guilty. He didn't let me speak. And then to fix it, because he knew what he did, he had my judgment be 0.00. And then I went again a couple days ago to another hearing for a stupid inspection sticker. You would think I killed somebody. So anyway, the same thing with this lady. It's hard to talk because I can hear myself. But anyway, this magistrate actually had a kangaroo court hearing, but she
she went on anyway. She showed me her oath of office, but she didn't. She wouldn't let the cop show me his oath of office, which is, you know, against the law. She had no jurisdiction, and she continued anyway. There, in the Philadelphia area, they don't bring any prosecutors in. They let the police prosecute and the judge prosecute, which is against the law. There was no injured party. She said the state was the injured party, but I've been getting hammered. I mean, I've been absolutely getting hammered, and I wondered if anybody had any advice.
Well, I can tell you what John would tell you. It isn't worth the struggle at this point in time because the courts are so corrupt. Just pay the bill and stay out of their way.
Yes,
because you're probably not going to win, and you can spend a lot of money, and you could end up in jail for contempt and so on, you know.
I thought you were supposed to be about all rights and things like that. And such a little thing like this, you're saying, you know, just hand over my money. I'm surprised about that. That,
well,
you know,
we don't actually deal in the automobile, you know, right to travel sort of thing. We have worked with the non-judicial foreclosures and CPA and SBA and that sort of thing. So we're not really.
Well, it's not really a right of travel that I'm arguing about. It's the the courts that I'm saying about.
Many different things there.
Oh, nobody else has any opinion on it, or that's on?
I know a lot of people are fighting it, and I don't know anybody that's really doing it successfully.
I'm surprised to hear that. That's the whole reason I joined this group, because I thought it was all about rights, no matter how big or small.
Well, we're working on the big ones first.
Yeah, but the small ones can roll into big ones. I mean, it's all breaking the law. They're not following the Constitution.
You're right. It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're right. It is about breaking the law. And they're accusing you of breaking a law. How much do you know about common law?
I started studying a whole bunch about 4 months ago. In fact, I am extremely confident. When I walked in that courtroom yesterday, I followed it I'm here as the general executrix of the all caps for the all caps name of state on this matter. I know exactly what to say, not to say. Not argue, not give them jurisdiction. I mean, I've been studying. I'd say I've studied now for the last couple months. I'd say, oh my goodness, a 1,000 hours. I don't know. I mean, I've been studying like crazy, and I know an awful, awful lot. I know what to say, what not to say, when to keep my big mouth shut, and how not to give them jurisdiction. And I did not enter into a contract with her. I did not enter into contract with the first one either, and I have about six or seven more to go to. But they just railroad you, and they're breaking the law here too. The judge is supposed to be impartial, and they're not impartial because they're doing the prosecuting too. So, you know, it's ridiculous. And I brought that up yesterday. I said I don't content to continue. I mean, you know, the prosecutor isn't here. I motioned to dismiss. I said, you don't have jurisdiction. You're out of office. She just continued. She's calling me mental, everything else. I mean, you're supposed to have some sort of rights. You go into these places, you're not having any rights. I don't see any rights there. And I'm a person who's in my 50s and haven't had any problems with the law. So,
did you see any common law in that court?
What's that?
Did you see any common law in that court?
What do you mean, did I see any common law?
Oh, it didn't sound like you were practicing common law. It sounded like you were using statutes, and UCC stuff, et cetera.
I don't know what you mean, because everything I was doing was common law. What do you think I was doing wrong then? You can tell me. I'd like to know.
You're in the wrong court.
Go ahead, Robert.
I know I'm in the ship on dry dock, if that's what you're asking, because I know a heck of a lot. I'm in Admiralty Maritime. I do know that.
That's fine. Now, why don't you appear on special appearance and challenge their jurisdiction, persona, court, and personal?
I thought that's what I was doing. Because I told her, I said, where is the injured party? She told me the state's the injured party. I said, no. I said, it has to be a flesh and blood woman or a flesh and blood man. I said, no.
Ask her to present the state's injured parties. You have the right
I did. I said, where is Mrs. State then? And she totally ignored me. She just told.
Yes.
She kept on going, saying how mental I was, and you know, I wasn't talking out of line. I'm not a rude person to begin with. I mean, these people are just unbelievable.
I understand.
So, what should I have done next then?
You got
another
court.
She was just going on. She swore the cop in the meantime, and they were just, you know, just going on with the thing.
Have you got another court appearance?
Well, you know how I'm paying her, though? I'm going to pay the fine, which I got from somebody else. Listen to this, how I'm going to beat this, B-I-T-C-H. I'm going to actually pay her. I think this one is just the inspection sticker. They didn't put the emission sticker in there, too. So I think it's going to be a little over $150, which is going to cost me $7 and some cents. That's what she's getting, because I'm going to pay her in pesos, which is $150, because if you go into our Constitution and Bill of Rights, it says it's absolutely illegal to use a debt, which is our currency, to pay another debt.
That's right.
So I'm going to go in and I'm going to pay her. She's going to get paid, but she's going to get paid with pesos. So I'm going to do that, and I heard somebody else say I could do that too, but
well, you're probably, now I'm going to tell you something. They're probably going to give you a rough time about it, but.
Oh, I'm sure they are. they are.
Now, do you know the difference in the symbol of the dollar sign? Everything used in the current court system is an S with a single vertical line through it.
Okay.
But really, if you're going to talk United States currency, it's the S with a double line vertically through it. The single line, you're doing it correct. It is the symbol for pesos. So they've
is
say
it really?
About, yes. And if they say
so, what they
about,
told me was correct. Okay, wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay.
Continue.
Then I would do a special appearance and challenge your jurisdiction. Is this in the district court?
No, this is all magistrate, all Admiralty Maritime, and unfortunately, I could have probably stopped it with some paperwork, I'm told, but unfortunately, at that time, I wasn't studying common law, so, you know, basically, 2 months before my car was supposed to be inspected, I got really sick. Let me put it to you this way. I went to bed one night and I woke up really sick, and I've been sick ever since. I moved out of my apartment and I moved into my car, so I'm living in my car. So my car is basically my home. Mm-hmm. And my pet just died a couple months ago that I've had for over 17 years. So, I mean, they're really ramming me. I haven't been working. I've worked my whole life. I've never taken unemployment, welfare, or anything. As an adult, as a kid, I was a welfare kid, but I've never taken anything from the state as an adult. And I mean, you would think somebody who, you know, like I killed somebody. I mean, I'm like as low as can be. And I mean, they're just hammering me. I don't have a freaking dollar to my name. I talk to somebody else and they're like, just pay the $250. It might as well be $250 million. Because I just don't have it at 250 a pop. I would
I would have got my car inspected, but it needed too much work done to it. So it didn't pass. So, there's nothing I can do with it. Now, the last couple months, I've started to become well, and I could basically get a job again. But instead of that, I'm focusing on this stupid, stupid crap so they can make revenue, which really, really stinks. So, basically, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you say your name was?
My name is Sally.
Sally, okay, I'm sorry.
So
you got feeling better after you moved out of your apartment and started living in your car?
No, I didn't start feeling better after that. I started feeling better just a couple months ago. And I'm like,
You've been out of your apartment how long?
What's that?
You've been out of your apartment how long?
I've been out of my apartment, let's see. Oh, I'm getting a call.
What I'm getting at, maybe there was something wrong with your apartment.
What do you mean?
Well, you moved out of your
apartment. I was sick. I mean, I was really, really sick. I wasn't well in my vehicle. I wasn't well in my vehicle at all. I just started getting well. So, but what I'm saying is, I mean, I think somebody who would kill somebody, cut them up in their basement and and bury them would have less of a time than I'm having. It's just ridiculous. I thought this United States was a wonderful place to be, and I've always told people that. I always did what I was told, and I never even knew common law existed. And I don't see the United States being any better than a third world country where they have women wear those, what are they called, sharias or whatever they are, where you're covered from head to toe and they beat you if they see your ankles. I really think the United States is the same way. I mean, after what I've been through, this little bit over a stupid, and 32 states don't have inspections. And the third Maine right now is petitioning to not have inspections because I forget what official it is, but he even said it's all for revenue. It's just for revenue. It's not. It has nothing to do with safety.
That's the whole United States. It's a credit society.
Yeah. So I have to hang up now. But so you said instead of saying I'm the general executrix, I should say I'm making a special appearance.
Yes. Special appearance and challenge all 3 points of their jurisdiction.
Okay, I'll try doing that when I go in because I have another one coming up next week. But you think you think I can get away with that peso thing? What I'm told is true then, with paying with the pesos.
Yeah, you're fine because ask the court to explain the symbol for the dollar.
Okay, so you're saying the one, let me get this straight again, the one that they have is the single line through, the one that
the peso has is this S with a single vertical line through the middle.
Single vertical.
That's the peso. The dollar sign is supposed to have two vertical lines through it.
Right. Okay, and what's the significance? How is this saying that we can use that? What are you saying about the court papers?
Well, you got a keyboard on your computer, right?
I do. I have it on my phone. That's my computer.
Look at number 4. And on top of that is a symbol for the dollar.
Mhm.
It's a single S. It's an S with a single vertical line through it.
And you're saying that's what's on the...
That's the sign for the peso, yes.
And is that the sign on the judgment paper too?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Because I have to go pick that up. All right. All right. Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to everyone that I talked to, everyone listening. I hope you have a great night.
Okay, you too. If you get stuck with that deal on your special appearance and your jurisdiction issue, Get hold of Jan or get hold of Terry.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too.
Sounds like there's something going on.
Sure. Windy. Somebody blowing on the mic.
Hello? Is that you, Jan?
Yep.
Okay. No, they are. They're doing the number. That's all the courts do anymore. They only want your dollars.
If you argue too much with them, they assume that you're a mental case because you're disputing their authority.
Yep.
So then they force you into a mental evaluation.
Yep.
And if you really irritate them and agitate them, they'll drug you up and keep you there for a month or more until you almost become a mental case.
Right. Yeah. I'm afraid that if I ever came up against that, number one, I wouldn't answer them. And number two, I wouldn't appear. It's fraud. It's all illegal. It's repugnant to the Constitution. I'm not even going to start with them characters. So, anyhow, that's me. That's my own personal opinion. That's not anybody else's.
I ran across an interesting article, and I put that in last week's newsletter too. It talked about stated goals of the deep state. If you read the inscriptions on the Georgia Guidestones, says they will reduce the population of the world by 90%. And so the question has come up: are they using chemtrails with all the crap they throw in it? Aluminum, barium, and occasionally they throw in some strange diseases to test to see how effective their germ warfare is. Are they using that to decrease the population slowly and get away with it? Which I've wondered for a long time. But I mean, they're doing a number. I've got trees out by my garden. I got about 20 spruce, and about 15 of them are dying all of a sudden in the last year, and they've been looking more poorly each year.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a look at the woods around Pennsylvania, they look pretty bad in most cases.
Yeah.
And other places. It seemed like the farther west you go, like last summer I was out in Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, and the trees there looked much better, but I didn't see chemtrails there like I do here.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you get clear to the West Coast now, they dump on them heavily, Washington, Oregon, California.
Well, I know around here, Jan, around here is the emerald ash borer.
Yeah, we got them too. Wiped out all my ash here in about a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, what I have noticed around this area, there is a lot more dementia cases. And I don't know. I just don't know. But I have noticed there's a lot more cases of that in the last 5 to 7 years. So I don't know.
Yes. Is that amongst our peer group because we're getting older, or is there some other reason?
Well, I don't know. We do it not because we need the meal. We don't need the meal. The wife and I go down to a local church on Tuesday nights called Open Door. And there was a lady there. She's there every week. We aren't, but she is. They always honor people that have a birthday. Well, she had a birthday last Tuesday, 98 years old. And she runs around like a spring chicken. She does these puzzles while she's there. And I'll tell you what, you think this lady, she isn't all wrinkled up or anything. She got a real good complexion. I mean, she's got a complexion of about a 55-year-old, and she's 98. And she is amazing. I just get a kick out of watching her. But, you know, and then you got others. There's some one in there that's 45, 47. And he looks like he's on his last legs. So there you go, you know. What causes the difference? So interesting. But anyhow.
Yeah, like they say in the movie When Harry Met Sally, I'll have somewhat of whatever she's eating and drinking, I guess.
Yeah.
Keep you going till 98, right?
No, boy, I'll tell you. Truly amazing.
Did you get a copy of her diet?
No, but I can ask her. I'll probably see her next Tuesday.
Does she
it might be interesting.
Smoke cigars and drink whiskey like Churchill or anything?
Yeah, it could be. Some of them ladies do that, you know.
Yep, I know.
Gee whiz, I can remember. We had some good, well, they're both dead now, but the lady came out of Franklin, North Carolina. And she married into that family. And Granny, the old lady, she chewed Garnet Triple X snuff.
Hmm.
I'll tell you what. Now, there was a real character.
Mm-hmm.
She had never gotten over the Appalachian Trail runs right through her property. And her property was on both sides of it. They just sold it. She died here a few years ago. The heirs just sold it for $1 million. And that trail where that went through that property is loaded with semi-precious stone. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there isn't some gold in there too, but a big outfit bought the property, so hard to tell her what's going to happen. But she never got over the fact that the government took her land and didn't give her any money for it. And,
yeah.
And they plastered government property signs all over that, right in front of her. Where, you know, she owned a pretty nice stretch. And she'd always say, I just go on up there. They seize that property. I still own it. Just go up there and do what you want to do. Well, they aren't too nice to people to start mucking around with. So I just kind of stayed a little clear of that one. But it was very interesting. But that's just a different. Now, Granny lived to be 103. So say what you can about smoking and chewing. And yeah, she had a little shot of whiskey every night. So I don't know about the cigars, but she sure was interesting. So anyhow.
Does anybody know what type of execution is still legal in the United States? I mean, there's hanging and firing squads and lethal injections. I don't know what other kinds. Gas chamber.
Electrocution.
Are they all available for treason, or do you think it would be something else?
I don't know. It used to be a hanging or a firing squad, I thought. But some
on the federal level,
death penalty, you know.
Yeah, a lot of Michigan banned it. But on the federal level, it's up to the Congress, the legislation, to determine each case separately on method of execution. And gas is out, and hanging is out.
Remember, the gal that was in the movie, I Want to Live, Susan, something or other. When you smell the almonds, it's too late.
Yeah, I think so.
Time is done.
But it's different in different states, but these are all going to be federal crimes. Treason is pretty serious. Go ahead.
If they're done by that tribunal, too, won't the military carry them out?
Yes.
I think so.
Military tribunal, yes.
Yeah. And that avoids a lot of issues.
Yeah, it does.
Probably how it'll be done.
Yeah, you know, Lindsey Graham asked Kavanaugh, are we in martial law? And Kavanaugh unhesitatingly said, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are in martial law, which means those tribunals will happen. May have already happened, but I don't know.
Nope, they're going.
Well, the judge that was doing the adjudicating got sick the first of the year, and they were off for quite a while. I don't know if they've started again, have they, Robert?
What's that?
The tribunals.
Yeah, he had a detached retina. And so they stopped for some period of time. And I don't know if they've started back up or not. Do you know, Robert?
I heard they were.
Yay!
I think Robert on the West Coast could give you some input. It's going to be interesting, anyhow.
Yes, it will. And long overdue.
Yeah, Comey. Comey is going to be the first one.
Yep. Yeah, he's got less than a week of freedom before they dump his stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Check the planes, trains, and automobiles and see if he's trying to beat it out of here, huh?
Do what? I could hear you.
I say you should check the planes, trains, and automobiles to see if he's trying to break out of the country.
Yeah. Well, kind of hard to do that when you're on a floating ship that's got bars on it.
Yep.
And they call them condominiums.
As long as they get them before he gets away.
Yeah.
We don't mean to hog the microphone. We got Jeff and Terry in here too, and Jim. Hi, Jim. So anybody can have the floor. You got about 22 minutes left.
Yeah, hi, Terry. I'm driving with Uber, so I can't talk on the phone.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. You're welcome to listen. Just thought I'd recognize that you were out there.
Good evening, everybody. It's Jeff, Tennessee.
Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
I don't have much, just I guess in my mind it still reiterates that education is so important. You know, I hear about all these people with their court cases, and I'm sure some of the people they meet in these courts may have an idea of what they're talking about, but a lot of people don't, and they think they're just crazy. Because of the lack of education. I think that's...
Go ahead.
I guess that, to me, that's the biggest thing, other than I know some people end up in court for various reasons, I guess. I don't tend to end up in court for anything yet, but it's still an education process. Every day, almost, it's an opportunity somewhere to share with something or point out the inconsistency of some of the things in our system of government or law to try to get some people to wake up, to get them interested in studying and reading books. You know, Terry, like some of the books we've discussed, the 196 Principles of Freedom or something, whatever that book was called.
The 196 Indispensable Principles of Freedom.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Yeah, I loved it too.
And from that I discovered, you know, some of the other books like Montesquieu, John Locke, which I had heard of before, and, you know, some of the other ones. And I'm currently reading some of the John Locke stuff. And it's excellent. It's key information. It's key stuff. But the schools, it's all been torn out of the schools. You know.
Yes, and it's doing a disservice. And that's why Oliver DeMille runs a course. He calls it a Black Belt in Freedom, BBF. And he acts as mentor. And he says, read this, write this, and then come on down to here, and we'll have a recitation or whatever you call it, where you, and you know, where you defend your thesis, and then
recitation,
and then they and he says you got black belt and freedom, and you know, his course is really good. I haven't taken it all, but I've done little pieces. He had a freedom conference, what he called a freedom conference here in March. Excellent, excellent thing. You can still take it, I think, but it costs $50 now. I got it for $35. But there's about 10, 12 hours, and he talks better than a lot of people I've heard, because it's all meat. There's no fluff in there. And he says a lot of good things. And if you can match his reading list, you've done a lot. And then, you know, there's papers up there. And they're all describing different things, different aspects. And you got Locke. I already had a Locke book, but last time I tried to read it, I wasn't ready for it. But I got the Locke book. I've got... Hume, I bought the book and that he was quoting Hume. I bought the Plutarch book. I bought the Letters of the Founding Fathers, the anthology that he cited. And I bought that Schlesinger book. And I've been looking at them all.
Pretty good.
And you're right.
You know, another thing I've noticed is that, well, this thought in my head. let me take a step back with this thought. Some years ago, I first heard about natural law. And I read it in Finney's Systematic Theology. And I thought, well, what is that? You know, I couldn't understand what it was, and Finney didn't explain what it was. I guess because at the time that was just common knowledge, you know. And so I've kind of looked for that over the years and learned more about it. But I think even that's missing in most of our churches. No one can, in the pastor in a church, if he were to say natural law, everybody would have this glazed look on their face. They don't know what he's talking about. You know, when we talk about natural law in a Christian perspective.
Very true. Do you know how they suppress that freedom of speech?
501c.
Yeah, and you know where that came about. Johnson, when he was in Congress in the 50s, put that in there. He put that in some, whatever the bill is, and because he didn't want anybody to be saying anything about politics, because these churches were keeping him from running where he wanted to run and winning the election. Mm-hmm. And he put that in there to suppress them. And churches have, and he threatened, the law threatens a church to lose a 501(c) if they say anything political. Well, holy cow. That's squelching free speech. I think we all need to stand up to that one. We lost Jeff. Oh, no. How fast? I heard one person give a prediction that it would take at least 6 months for anybody to receive an indictment, and then another year or two before anybody would start having trials. And that was the prediction. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think, just like in a chess game, on one move, you get a change in the initiative. Football game, baseball game, just one move can change the initiative. And once you have the initiative, it takes a little bit of time to finish the development. And it's in the end game when everybody goes down. So I think we've got a little bit of time. And it's going to give us a window where we can change things. How much can we change? I don't know. But we're going to have all the law professors, all the lawyers, almost all the lawyers. I guess there's some of them that would stand up. I'm not even convinced that Hillsdale College would stand up properly.
They won't.
Because when I ask them common law questions, they have never answered me.
I don't know. How far did I get?
Let's see. We hated to lose you there.
I didn't realize I was gone.
I'm sorry. go ahead and just jump in where you want.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyway. I'll just keep it brief. I was talking about also in churches, even this, using John Locke to share with some of the people in church, because he uses the Bible to explain principles of property and sovereignty and law, even like that. We don't teach even in the churches very well, I don't believe. And I don't remember what else I was talking about, but to me, it's all about introducing to people these principles and helping them get educated.
I think you're absolutely right. And we're worried about saying something from the pulpit or having the church teach the people about freedom. Well, where do you think they organize? Those people standing up on Concord Green and at Lexington, where'd they come from? They came from the churches. So, yeah, I think it needs to start happening again. That's how I feel about it. Just me.
Yeah. Earlier I'd mentioned I learned about natural law from reading Charles Finney. And if you ask somebody, people in the church, what is natural law, you know, that most of them would have no idea what you're talking about as far as natural law goes in a Christian perspective. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done there.
Yeah, and it's all right there in that book sitting up on their podium.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, a lot of, even our pastors are uneducated in a lot of this stuff. You know, people will read C.S. Lewis, they'll read A.W. Tozer, they may even read some of the others, right? Maybe, if you can get somebody to read a book. But there's a lot of these other authors. Like I said, John Locke, who used the Bible to explain a lot of these principles that our pastors, most of them, probably don't know about. And would their board, the church board, allow them to talk about those things? Because do they even understand principles of freedom and a lot of that in the Bible? You know? It's all about education. So when is John going to have that book ready to go, do you think?
I think Jan's got a better handle on that, but I think you can get an idea if you go to the Government by Consent course and look down at the plan chapters. You get some kind of idea.
Well, yeah, I finished up through six some months ago.
Yes, there's been no further chapters added. I think there's two or three that are about done. One of them is a really long one on the Constitution. There might be four or five chapters out of that one particular subject. So I wouldn't hold my breath yet. It's going to be a while yet. Because he's writing all these memorandums as well and doing a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah, and I understand he's busy.
So I don't have a definite answer for that.
Yeah, Terry?
Yes, sir.
You had mentioned about Hillsdale?
Yes, sir.
Our Thursday afternoon, bi-monthly, we have two of them a month, meeting with the law that we're teaching the Constitution to. We've asked Hillsdale twice to debate us, and twice no answer. We've asked the U of M Cooley to debate us twice, and no answer from them neither. And we said that we would debate them in federal statute, state statute, or the Constitution, Declaration, Magna Carta, or the amendments, and they won't debate us.
Yep, they don't see you as an equal.
Well,
you and I both know better.
I got into some of the Cooley. Matter of fact, I sent you an article, a book on Cooley, written by Tom Cooley in 1871. I think I sent it to you. I'm pretty sure I did.
Cooley sounds familiar, but I don't always get things read.
Okay. Well,
I'm sorry, Robert. I don't mean to be behind.
Well, I've been at it too, so that's fine. But anyhow, in there, that's pretty well laid out as you could use it as a guide. And it was written in 1871 of what is going on today. And that gentleman had it pretty close to the, he was a student of the common law. And he predicted a lot of this stuff. And he lived during the time of 1871. So he was right into another period of history.
I'm sorry, Jan, what did you say?
Yeah.
So, Ed, what do you want to bring up?
Well, I thought I was getting into a meeting of some sort.
This is the discussion group. We've got about 5 minutes left, and the floor is to anyone who wants to talk. Same goes for Linda in Virginia, too. Go ahead, Ed.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead with Linda.
This is the discussion group, and anybody has the floor that wants to talk.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I know I'm late, but I was just tuning in to see what was being discussed. That's all.
We have covered a lot of subjects tonight, and I hope you listen to the recording.
Is the Thursday night recorded?
Yes,
absolutely. You know, when you go on the banner and you go up to weekly call.
Yes.
If you scroll down, there's two right there. It says click below for information on other NLA calls. And one of them is discussion group. And if you click on that, you'll see all the discussion groups that have been recorded.
Well, I have found, I always listen to the Monday night, but I listen to it two or three times sometimes, but I don't think I have found the Thursday night. So,
well, I just told you how to go into it. You want me to talk to you?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Okay. I hope you can listen to it. It takes me a little while to get it up there, but it'll be shortly after we hang up here and in the call, that recording will be posted up on the weekly call, and then scroll down and click on the discussion group call. And it's organized there by date. So you'll be looking at May 2nd when we get there.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay. Yes, I'm glad to hear that, because I'm not always able to tune in because I'm trying to get work done on my house. So
I understand, and you could download those and just keep them going. You could listen to them all day long if you wanted.
I usually do listen at least a couple of times.
I do have a question. Are we already on daylight time now?
Yes.
Yes, sir, we are.
Sometime.
Okay, so I'm an hour late joining. I'm from Arizona, and we don't change our clocks, so I missed out on the change. Okay.
That's unfortunate, and we hope you listen to the call, too.
Yeah, I will, and I'll be aware that you're now on daylight savings time now. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. All right. Anybody else want to start a conversation? Please speak up now.
What's on my mind is I saw the posting for what's happening in Chicago. They're impounding cars and charging excessive fines and fees, and they're withholding the vehicles from people. And apparently there's a big racket between the towing companies, the police and or law enforcement, I should say, and the cities and the towns or whatever. So the Institute of Justice just filed a class action suit representing at least two or three of the people.
one couple took their car in to get it repaired, and one of the employees took it out for a drive and got stopped, and he was driving on a suspended license, and they impounded the car. So the owners thought it would be simple, just go down and explain that they were not involved. And anyway, to make a long story short, it turned into a nightmare, and they ended up having to pay $5,000 to get their car back.
Welcome to Chicago.
But like John says over and over, it's always, always, always about due process, and I'm finding that to be true.
Well, my brother and I had a wrecker service in the late 50s and early 60s, and we didn't mind Chicago because each of us always had $100 bill folded up in our wallet. And so when they wanted to see our driver's license, they always seen the $100 bill first there. The Chicago police, they kind of liked that figure. It was real good figure back in the early 60s. And my brother and I used to laugh about who could lose the most money to the Chicago Police Department when we was over there on a wrecker service picking up a car for a loan company or taking one back over. So.
Well, also, there's a tendency for them not to go after people they think have money because they can defend themselves. But, you know, they'll go after basically the vulnerable, the low-income minorities, you know, elderly, disabled, all that group, you know.
Yep, times have changed.
Yeah, they got worse.
I could hardly even believe what I was reading, honestly. There was one mechanic who gave a customer a ride, and they got stopped, and he was clean, but the customer had drugs. So they impounded his car. And he now owes $17,000, you know, in order to get his car back. And he's the other person that they're representing. But there's no due process in the, you know, in the way things go, I guess.
You're correct.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's just, it's insane, really. Oh, and my friend, who I think I've mentioned him before, maybe on Monday night, he was, this all started, he left his house and he made a left-hand turn like he has for 20 years, and a policeman stopped him. And she said he was going too slow. It was on a parkway. And he's got a speech impediment, so he tried to explain that he had just made a left-hand turn and he was trying to, you know, get to the speed limit. And I'm probably sure that she probably couldn't understand him. And then she said he was slightly incoherent, which made it look like he was under the influence of something. But she didn't give him any tests. She didn't cite him. But she told him she was going to call it into the DMV, which she did. So she called it into the DMV, and they suspended his license. And they wanted him to go through a whole evaluation process, but, you know, I guess he knew better to get into all that. And he filed an appeal with the DMV, and that, I was there, I was present, and that was a sham. It was a complete sham. And but he did send an affidavit in explaining that he, you know, what I had just said, that he had just made a left-hand turn and everything. So that's in the records, but he keeps getting stopped. And it's funny, those articles should come out, because this past Sunday he got stopped again. And they impounded the car, and he just paid $400. First they told him $800, and that was only for like two or three days. And then basically I told them they need to go back down there to, you know, tell them about these cases. And because one of the aspects of these cases is excessive fees and fines.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that it's a racket, but they're charging excessive fees and fines. And so he paid the $400 and he got his car back. But they have basically rendered him unable to live, because you have to get groceries and go to the doctor and everything, you know. And this whole thing, you know, he's living a nightmare, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And most of it goes back to the fact that she did not cite him. She did not give him a citation. So there's nothing to defend against. He's been to lawyers, and the lawyers won't take it because it's not in court. And the other thing is, they know they'll lose because they're up against the DMV and the government. So he's living a complete nightmare. He just keeps getting... Fortunately, he's got money. You know, he's got some money. So, but they're draining him, you know, of his money, because he's in this state of entrapment, basically extortion entrapment. So it is just horrible. And you look at that and think, that could be any one of us.
Sure could.
And they're particularly focusing on the seniors, you know, the older people. I was in a restaurant one time, and they were having a meeting. The state troopers, it was state troopers and a couple other law enforcement, and they were having a big meeting, and they were almost, we were on the other side of them. It was like a room off to itself, and then we were on the other side in a booth, and I heard them discussing. And they were almost gleefully talking about taking the seniors off the road. And the other thing they mentioned was reducing the speed limit for reckless driving from 20 miles over the speed limit to 15 miles over the speed limit. So, I mean, that was just another thing that was discussed. But maybe that needs to happen. I don't know. But...
Well, you can beat them.
At which one?
State police. State of Michigan?
Yeah.
They have to notify the sheriff that they're going to operate in his county. If they do not, it's a misdemeanor. You can get it thrown out of court.
But are you talking like the state troopers are going to be on your side?
No, state troopers. No, they're all no.
Because
if it's not common law, it is not law.
I'm not sure I'm following you.
Okay, I'm just saying. In the state of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
the state police have to notify the sheriff of the county they're going to operate in. If they do not, it is a misdemeanor by statute on the state police. In other words, what I'm saying, the sheriff can charge them.
Yeah. In other words, he's defending the people, right? Is that what you're saying?
The sheriff is, yes, he's doing his job.
Okay, but I found this, that's interesting, you know, because what I've found is some places the sheriff does do their job and does represent the people, but other places that's not happening. They're in bed with the rest of them, you know. And
yes,
that's the case here. They that I know of, they do not represent the people. They, you know.
The state of Michigan has 83 counties. I know of one that I would call a constitutional law-abiding sheriff.
Mm.
That's sad.
It is sad. They will, the state police will tell you things that the other law enforcement doesn't bother with. I have noticed that. But in general, I guess in the end, they're siding with everybody but the people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So. Well, other than that, I had to do my taxes this week, and, you know, I don't know what else is going on. I'm going to go back and listen to the recording.
Okay. I'll, unless anybody has one last comment to say, I'll go ahead and shut down the meeting. Does anybody want to say anything else?
Have a blessed evening.
Yep. All of y'all have a blessed evening also. Thank you very much. We appreciate everyone who contributed to tonight's discussion. This has been the discussion group done by NLA on the NLA conference call number. This group meets every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Adjust for your time zone. The opinions expressed are those of the people who spoke them, and not necessarily the NLA, including me. And I want to say thank you again to everyone, and I guess we'll see you in about a week. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.